We are currently in the book of Amos. You get to Ezekiel and Daniel and Hosea and Joel. Amos sits on up in there in that Old Testament. 9 chapters. We're wrapping it up today. 9-8, we'll be in that general area there. This month has flown by, hadn't it? It seemed like we just kicked it off. I'm telling you.
It just seems like 1 week now.
Think about it. Labor Day. Remember, I took little man down there to hunt. When went to Louisiana to hunt. Yeah. That seemed like that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's been a month ago. Yeah. It's just.
I got news for you, brother. Years go by now like
Yeah, I'm telling you. I know. I'm noticing it, but I know as you age, it gets even faster.
Can I read?
Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming.
Yeah. And it's not going to be, there's going to be a famine, but not of bread or drink. But of hearing the word.
Yeah. Of hearing.
Hearing the word.
Yeah.
And I believe this country right now is in that famine of hearing the word. They just can't. They're not hearing the word.
We do see that. There are times like this in this prophetic passage talking about a specific time of this is going to happen and it's going to be rare and people are going to search for it and they're going to go from sea to sea to hear a word. Right. But there's going to be a famine and. We see that today, how that people travel from coast to coast just to hear, to go get a word somewhere.
Yeah.
And that definitely is coming on several, came for them on several levels. One, remember there was a period where God wasn't giving any revelation as far as writing. We're talking about that in between.
There was in New Testament, 400 years ago.
There's a lot of time. And there's a lot of time that we've seen these famines take place in specific areas, specific countries. And that goes along with this curse. God said, I'm going to do something that you've not been used to. This is this idea of an unusual thing that he's going to do. And that unusual thing, normally when God was bringing a curse as a result of progressive rebellion against him after he sent people to him and he attempted to turn them back to him, but they rejected him, and he did it again and they rejected him. These prophets that are sent like Amos was a sheep herder. He tended the sycamore fruit. He was a farmer. He was just an everyday farmer. And he tells us that in chapter 7. He said, God, I wasn't born into this.
Yeah.
I was out tending my own business in verse number 14 and 15. He tells them, I was just a farmer in chapter 7. I didn't ask for this, but God came and gave me this vision and showed me this and sent me to go tell y'all what I've seen. And that's what he did. Now we see that God warns that there's coming a day that this famine is going to enter. Usually a famine would be of bread and water,
right.
Meaning God would cause a drought, or he would put a country that put a, they would block off water or food to a city.
Locusts would come in.
Yeah, those types of things. Those were all, he would do that over a period of time. But this one, he says, behold, this is that faith word. You need to see this. I'm going to do something that's going to shock you, and that is, there's going to be a famine, but it won't be a famine of bread and water. It's going to be something that's even more important than that. Men are just not going to hear from God.
Right.
It's going to be a famine of hearing the word.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily also mean that the word doesn't go forth, but there's no hearing even of that does go forth.
Right.
Because God's always got his remnant. God always speaking.
Yeah, even in the drought between Old Testament and New Testament, he was still speaking to somebody.
Yes. And a note that I made, like Isaiah 55, because Isaiah was a contemporary prophet of Amos. Isaiah's prophecy was much more extensive,
right.
a lot more to it and for a much longer period of time. Amos, his prophetic word was very brief, but had long-term effect. But it was a time, chapter 1 tells us it was during the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. Jeroboam 2, because there was two Jeroboams that was king, the second one. And then during the days of Uzziah, 2 years before the earthquake. Well, there's another passage that mentions that earthquake in the book of Zechariah. Look in Zechariah, which Zechariah is a prophet that comes later. You can keep going to Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. You'll get to Zechariah, and I think it's chapter 14. I may be wrong. Zechariah 14, yes, verse number 5. This earthquake is not spoken of in Kings nor Chronicles. Historically, it's not brought up when it happened or how it happened. Some attribute it in relationship to King Uzziah. Remember, Uzziah went in and offered that sacrifice that he wasn't supposed to offer, and and leprosy came upon him.
Yeah.
Well, Amos is living during those days. Isaiah's living during those days. God gave Uzziah leprosy. He couldn't even go back into his house anymore, couldn't go to the temple anymore, had to have an isolated place because of the leprosy. But in this passage in chapter number 14 of Zechariah in verse number 5, this is all future event, prophetic, still yet to happen. He says, "Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azazel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah." That is the earthquake that Amos mentions in chapter 1, verse 1, that his prophecy to these people came 2 years before that earthquake hit. Zechariah's telling us something that happened in hindsight, but he's also, this happened, if I ain't mistaken, this earthquake happened 280 years before this word in Zechariah, during the days of Uzziah. But the message of what is future going to be happen, you're talking about 2,000 to 3,000 years later. And he uses the personal pronoun you. When you, these people that he's talking to wasn't even alive then. So he's talking about a group of people, the nation of Israel, Judah, who fled Jerusalem during that earthquake. He says that in a future day, God is going to come down on this earth. That's what the previous verses says. God's going to step on the Mount of Olives. The earth is going to shift from north to south with an earthquake. And it's going to split from east to west. He says at that time, Israel is going to escape the Gentile judgment that's coming upon them. They will escape through that valley of that earthquake. It's going to be supernatural that they're going to do. But it happens when God steps down on the Mount of Olives. This ain't happened yet. It's coming. So it's a neat prophecy. He goes back 280 years as a reference, but he's pointing to something that's going to happen a long time ago, but he refers to the earthquake that Amos referred to during his days of prophecy. So it's just neat how that all fits together. But I like how he refers to it as you, like you were there, but you wasn't there.
Right.
And you're not going to be there, but you will be there in the sense of you as a nation will be there, you, the people. So that's a lot of times when you read things, we got to make sure we understand when he says you, he's not referring to the people that he's talking to right there. He's referring to a future people that this word's going to be so applicable to at that time, as well as them just being the nation of Judah, you know, when God restores them in that day. But that's that earthquake that took place in that time frame. And that's really the only time this earthquake's mentioned. You would think because it was a landmark time in that day. Now, some people would say that that can be figurative to when Christ was crucified. Man, when he was crucified on the cross, there was an earthquake.
And the graves opened up, people came out.
Scripture says people came out after the resurrection. People that had dead, Old Testament people,
right,
that was in the grave, been dead for a long time, came back to life and walked on the earth
after
Jesus was resurrected.
Yeah.
So that could be that prophetic reference. Some people say it's more future day. Because there's some things in Zechariah that are all mentioned in what took place at the cross. So some of these things are hard to figure out. You know, was God meaning in this in a figurative sense? Because remember, when that earthquake took place, think about it. The day that Jesus died, the stars, the moon, everything went dark. 3 o'clock that evening, for 3 hours to 6 o'clock, there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
It said that the veil in the temple was rent. Ripped from top to bottom. Which is a picture of that what the cross did was provide access for all of us, Jew and Gentile, to enter into the holy things of God through that sacrifice. So some of these things Zechariah could be referring to about that earthquake, that escape and deliverance is going to be found in his son, you know.
You know, today, certain things are a certain generation that you can say, well, 2 years before this happened, or 2 years after.
Kennedy assassination.
But you've got to be pretty old. You're too young.
Yeah, I was not alive when he was shot.
See, 9/11, we could say 9/11, and we all remember seeing the towers.
Yeah.
That, except for those that, like this.
Yeah.
And that would be not a vision that they can. I mean, when we saw Kennedy get shot and Oswald getting shot on television.
You can relate to it.
It's not only can we relate to it.
But where you was at.
We were. I know exactly where I was at, what I did, when I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
The world stopped when that happened. Because everybody believed that the next thing was happening, that the Russians were going to drop bombs on all of us. I mean, that was just.
That was the next step.
This was the.
Well, you've been prepared for it.
Yeah.
You know, in school and all that. Yeah. And you know, I say that was a big hoax too. It was just they say it was, you know, he really wasn't going to do it. It was just a smoke screen, like a poker player who don't have a good hand, but he's bluffing you, you know. What's going on, Palmer? Good to see. Hey, man, come on, man. But we'll take you, you know. Yeah. We'll serve you. You know, most restaurants open at a certain time, but they serve you until they close. You know what I mean? Yeah. As long as we're here, you know, come on.
That's right. We're glad you're here anyway.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, as the meaning of it means a lot more to those that experience.
Yeah.
Now, people know, you know about Kennedy, and it means a lot to you, but it doesn't mean near as much to you as it does to us.
Right.
Because we were experiencing things as it happened.
Yeah.
9/11 means a lot to all of us because we experienced it happen.
Mm-hmm.
These little ones running around out here.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue, but it will. Someday, but they'll hear this tale, they'll hear the story,
mm-hmm.
They may even see pictures of it
mm-hmm.
happening. And it may mean something to them, but not riveting. I mean, our world stopped when 9/11 happened. I was going to work, and I didn't go to work. I sat there and turned the TV on
mm-hmm.
and watched it because mm-hmm. I knew work, you know, the world was going, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We were kids in school, we were watching Kennedy on TV.
Yeah.
When he got shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I got in my car and drove home. Not because I was worried about Kennedy. I knew that was going, school was going to be out. Just like it happened, and it's going to happen, just like it says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is no conspiracy. There's a lot of people are trying to find a conspiracy in the Bible. See?
Yeah, that is man written.
Yeah.
And people had an agenda.
Yeah, I shut that down.
And they had an agenda to oppress this and oppress that, and they was to put people in slavery and that kind of thing. And this is not God, this is man, but you can trust the Word.
You can trust the Word.
Man ain't smart enough to pull this together the way it is.
So no matter what, I mean, in this day and age, we think we see everything on TV. We don't see everything on TV.
No.
We don't see the truth really happening in front of our eyes. We think we do, and we get hypnotized to it.
Yeah.
But it's all a lie.
All of it's going to feed you a lie.
There is no lie.
You know, these media, they want to tell you that they don't put no bias.
Nice.
That's a big plug.
Well, because one, it's impossible not to be biased.
Sure.
On what you filter life through. We're all going to filter life.
Yeah.
The facts that are presented, we all see them differently because how we filter it. And we put that bias into everything. And they being who they are and who's behind it, who supports them. Well, the media stands up.
Yeah.
They report it like this. Flake made a bold move.
Yeah.
Now, had that been on the other side,
sure,
they would have never made it a bold move.
No.
It would have been a foolish move.
Sure.
It would have been a reckless move to go through all what they went through, you see. But because it went in their favor, it was a bold move. It was a courageous thing.
Yeah.
But they show him, and they show him contemplating this. And then when they're going to show President Trump's pictures, you know, ain't going to have his eyebrows crinkled in. He's mad. He's upset. You know, that's every single time they're going to report it, they're going to taint him. And now he gives them enough to taint, but they're going to taint him. And, but they don't do anything with a bias, you know. You just listen to their language, how they describe this person and that one, and you'll see which one they, and we see it in the Amos.
Verse 12 here, it says, and there's going to be a famine of the word, and you shall not find it. You're going to look, but you ain't going
to
find it.
It said they will run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it.
That's
it's not going to end that day, and it just keeps on referring to the things that are going to happen and why.
Chapter 5, it says it's like a man running from a lion, and he ran right into a bear.
That ain't good. You in trouble.
You in trouble.
Or
he runs into his house and leans up on the mat.
He's coming in to take a break and rest, and he gets bit by a serpent.
That's happening today. And why people can't see the importance of this Bible just to tell us how to live today is so important that we need to be learning more and more about the Bible, because ignorance here is going to be no excuse.
Well, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And the reason they have the lack is that when there was an opportunity to seek it, they chose not to. Then it comes to a point where they do seek it and they can't find it.
When there was a Sunday school class lesson, or when there was a church service,
seeking him in the morning, day by day, hearing from him.
A quiet morning where you can, in early in the morning, to get up and read. And see, today I yielded. I had people that I don't want to discuss at the house in the area where I sit down and read early in the morning. And God says, okay, fine. And I woke up at 7 o'clock when it was time to get up. I didn't get up at 4:30.
Yeah.
And he just let me sleep. And so, I'm not totally prepared. I have read verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not totally prepared with verse 9 like I should be. Like I would want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did pick out 9:10.
Mm-hmm.
All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, and shall the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Yeah, basically saying everybody who says that, that gives a false sense of peace, that calamity shall not overtake nor confront us, God says that's not true.
That's not true.
It doesn't. I'm letting you know up front that I'm going to sift you like grain.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who tells you it ain't going to happen. Don't trust them.
Right.
It's going to happen. They're going to try to comfort and say it's all good. You okay. But no, that's you're not. And I encourage you to turn.
Amen.
To turn is what he was. Because, you know, Amos brings that out. Says, guys, God might be gracious to us. He may not. He may not. He was gracious and turned back a few things he showed me that I interceded with. We need to turn back to him that he might be gracious. We want to trust him on this.
He was talking to the leaders that could have done something about it.
Who could have been difference makers. That's right.
Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah. Us men in this church are the difference makers.
Yes.
We want these children to be raised right, then we need to be sure.
Starts with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's who controls the church at the moment. Now, they will control the church later on when they get old enough.
How will they live? What will they do?
What we do and how we do it and why we do it is sparing these children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this morning I was thinking, about Blake, my son in Birmingham with the boys.
Yeah.
And I know he's up getting ready to go to church this morning, you know, and he'll hustle and bustle and get them there and try to teach them and train them right
through
the years. But in the end, you don't know how they're going to turn out. Like that. But they'll always have that in them.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That's right.
How they're going to turn out in the end.
Yes, okay. Yes.
That's what Proverbs teaches. He was trying to teach his son this stuff, but it didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
It's not his, but you got to do it. You still got to teach them.
Yeah.
Not teaching them is worse than teaching them and they reject it is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But just not teaching them at all is on you.
And I believe that's what's happening to a lot of this country.
Sure.
I mean, that's the majority of
it.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that spirit. That spirit's been around a long time. We see that any time a nation's without the Lord, without teaching, without the Word, people cast off restraint and said, I do what I want to do. He says, where there's no revelation, where there's no revealing of God's light, people push off restraint.
We had two police officers. We got a call to a family disturbance, so we told him when they drove up in the yard and they shot both of them killed.
That's probably the most dangerous call a policeman can go to.
And more than likely that was just an ambush is what it was. Not a legitimate disturbance in the yard as much as an ambush on that. Possible both, but a domestic. You go in, I mean, they can be beating that wife. You get on him, she's going to pull a knife or a gun on you for getting on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those things, I tell you, we live in a crazy world. There's a passage. It's in 2 Chronicles. We was in there the other night, I believe. Brother Shannon said, we was in there the other day. Well, this is 2 Chronicles 15. He says these words. He tells Asa these very words. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching preacher, and without the law.
There you go.
A long time without those fundamental things,
which
were to point them, hold them accountable, show them their responsibility. And when you don't have that, you can't walk in God's ways. It's just inevitable. You're gonna do things totally contrary. When you do that, then God does certain things. And that's what we see in Amos is not only what God was doing, what he had done, but what he says I'm going to do in the future. I'm going to restore. I'm going to bring restoration and revival back to my people. And when I do, this is what it's going to look like when I do it. The sad thing is, it won't be with you.
Right.
It's going to be with another group who hears me.
Right.
And so... That's the thing. God tells us what he's going to do and how he's going to do it up front. That's why the scripture says he's not mocked.
Yeah.
We reap what we sow. When we do certain things, we'll see certain blessings or certain consequences that we don't want to really have to face, but inevitable they're going to show up. And that's what Amos has been pointing out. Guys, this is the result of your actions here. This is what you've been sowing. This is why this has happened. It goes back to this. God said this is going to happen. You seeing it. Can't you see this? But they didn't want to see it. Yeah. Didn't want to hear it. So they told him, go on down and go tell them folks down there. They'll listen to you. But we don't want nothing to do with you.
Right.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the time we've had together. Thank you that we can talk about personal things and practical things and things in our past and stuff that is going on right now and what's still yet to come. We trust you. We believe you. As Brother Shannon pointed out, your word is true. We can rest our life upon it.
Yeah.
Even when we don't understand it, we trust you know exactly what you're doing with your ways and with us. So we're just going to submit to you and ask you to help us and that we would be those that seek you, the difference maker, so we can make a difference in our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen.